Well, if you're in the seventh heaven, just stay there right now. Don't let me get in your way. I'm just going to talk to you for a few minutes and just share my notes with you, and then we'll be finished for the night. Psalms 105, starting verse 16. I'm just going to read a few verses. Psalms 105, verse 16. It says, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land." This is talking about God. "He called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant." I don't know about you, but when you have your dreams and ideas of, man, the awesome will of God, you don't necessarily envision God calling for a famine in the land and sending a man before them who's going to be sold for a servant and a slave. I mean, that's just not what piques your interest when you're daydreaming about the great things that you want to do for God. I want to be sold for a servant, and I want to be a slave. You know, like when Paul, who was Saul at the time, got saved, and then the word came to him that he was going to suffer great things for the cause of Christ. That's not necessarily the thing that you're going to go up and shout about and put over Facebook, you know. Praise God. I'm going to be, Craig, the Lord told me last night, I'm going to be sold for a slave. I'm going to go to Africa and become a missionary, and I'm going to become a slave and be beaten. You know, that's not necessarily what you shout about. But the story's not over. And your story's not over. Hallelujah. He sent a man before them. The testimony of what happened is awesome. How God took a family through this and turned them into a nation. That's a great testimony, but what if you're the man that was sent before them? What if you're the man that was sent before? And I've seen this, I've thought this and seen this over Jason and Gloria many times, but I believe that there are going to be many couples that are going to follow y'all's example. Many, many couples all over the nation, and y'all have already ministered to many as you've traveled. But what you know, it's going to be great, you know, the days when evangelism and crusades, everything explodes wide open, and evangelists are in high demand, you know, and you just, everybody's wanting to call Jason and all these other evangelists to come out and preach in the biggest venues. It's going to be a heyday. It's going to be great because it's happened before. It'll happen again. But what if you're the evangelist? What if you're the man that God's called to go before, Craig? What if you're the person that God's called to go before for children's ministry, an evangelistic children's ministry? What if you're the man that God's called to go before and pioneer something? He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. You know, if you're going to pioneer something, there might be kind of a being a sold for a servant aspect to what God's called you to do. And if you haven't been called to pioneer something, then thank God for that. Be rejoice in the place that God has given you, and be happy where God has placed you, because you are very, very blessed. It's not easy to be the first person that God sends out into a field. You know, to me, being an evangelist especially, God's called me as a crusade evangelist. And you just hear a lot of things said about that. But the best way that I can explain it, being a crusade evangelist today is almost like if God had called you to be a computer analyst back in the 1800s. You know, there's no computer industry. You almost feel like that nowadays. There's almost, there are people that need to get saved, but nobody, you know, it's just different than it used to be back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And God's turning that around. But I kind of think I have a little understanding of what it's like to pioneer something. In verse 18, he said, "Whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. Until the time," I love this verse, verse 19, "until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him." Now, let's just notice here what he's saying. Until the time that, you'd almost put this in quotation marks in your Bible, until the time that his word came. Troy, you have a word that is yours and nobody else's. So he's talking about Joseph's word, but then he also talks about God's word. So there are two different words in action here. Until the time that your word, Craig's word, comes to pass, until the time that Kevin's word comes to pass, then this word tries you. Lord, have mercy. And thank God he didn't reveal all that to us when we got the prophetic word from Dale Gentry 20 years ago. We'd have opted out right then and there. I mean, I got to the point at some point along the journey when I got a new prophetic word from somebody. I wasn't necessarily all giddy and happy. I thank God for it, but I had been through just a little bit enough to know that I know there's an adversary out there. And I know there's some being sold into slavery that's going to take place to where I'm like, hey, that's a great word. Thank God I'm willing. I'm obedient. I'm going to do it. But I'll, you know what I'm saying. you know what's coming too. There's a fight. And that's just the way it is. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him. And as those of you know the story, I'm sure all of you do, Joseph was sold into slavery. And then he ended up getting promoted. And he was at the top of the guy's house. And then he got accused of adultery, falsely accused, and thrown into jail. And Joseph, I believe, began to know that he had a gift in operation. And you think that when your gift begins to manifest, it's very easy to think that that is also the fulfilling of time for everything else in your life. But see, Joseph's gift is what started all this trouble, if I can say it that way. He had all these dreams and shared it with people and got himself in trouble. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, he shouldn't have shared his dreams. But I'm telling you, when God puts a word in your mouth, when God puts a dream in your heart, you know what I'm talking about, Troy. You gotta tell somebody. The word is coming out. It's like a fire set up in your bones, and you're going to say it. So I don't really blame Joseph for spreading his dreams and telling people what God had put in his heart. Because if you hadn't got the boldness and the guts to say what God told you, then you ain't in the game anyway. Either he didn't tell you, or you're just not in the game anyway. So you got to say something. So Joseph says something, so his gift begins to operate. But it's almost ironic, and I can just imagine the irony that Joseph felt when the butler and the baker showed up in prison. And he's walking in the fruit of the Spirit, Craig. This amazes me. Joseph is walking in the fruit of the Spirit there in jail. You know, it's one thing to get thrown in jail like Paul and Peter, and you praise God, you shout the prison doors open. Hallelujah, what a testimony. I was in jail overnight, and the prison doors opened up. And I know, because I know what I've tried to do in my situations, that I know what Joseph tried to do when he first got in jail. He went to pray in Dan. He probably consecrated a fast, a 40-day fast. He was like, in the name of Jesus, he didn't know, in the name of Jehovah, I'm getting out of this prison in 40 days. And he probably consecrated a 40-day fast because he was going to get out of that prison. Years later, he's still in prison. What do you do when the same prayer that Paul and Peter prayed to get out of prison doesn't work for you? And it doesn't get you anywhere. And you're thinking, God, I praised louder than Paul did in jail. I praised longer. And I had more people praying for me than Peter did. And you didn't send any angel, and you didn't open up any prison doors. I could have got Philippi saved by now if you'd have just opened the doors like I knew you were going to. Like Paul got Philippi. And all this stuff goes through your mind. And you think, Lord, what is it going to take? He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Verse 16, he called for a famine in the land. I can't doctrinally explain how God does that, but I just know that he does. And it's in times like that that you realize that God's purpose for you, just like Peter walking on the water, God's purpose for Peter walking on the water wasn't to calm the storm, but to walk on the water. That's why he was out there. Because why do you need to calm the storm when you can walk on the water? Who cares? The storm becomes irrelevant, Dan. When you can walk on the water, there's no need to calm the storm. The storm can't hurt you. You're walking on the water. And a lot of times we get into a situation and it starts. And you think like Peter and Paul, I'm going to get out of this jail. But what if God's got a season for you of preparation and work? We can't explain, we can't understand, but you're there. And you've praised God over and over and over again, but you're still there. And you think, on this storm, the storm should have calmed a long time ago. God doesn't love me like I thought He did. If he treated this person better than He's treated me, and the list goes on and on and on. And if crying and whining would have changed the situation, it would have changed it by now. But God doesn't listen to that. I know by personal experience. I've got a longer crying list than you can imagine. And I've said everything under the sun to try to get the Lord agitated and get Him upset. And Lord, try to get Him as mad as I was and get Him to understand. And all this stuff, the list goes on and on of anything I've tried to do to kick that door open. But the Lord just wants to work on the inside of you. We got to realize that the Lord will walk us through a place opening the prison door is nothing for Him. God needs to open a greater door in your heart. That's what we have such a hard time dealing with. Because praise God, we got a prophetic word and the anointing and the anointing and the fire and all this. And that's where it starts. We got to keep the fire, keep the anointing. But when God is trying to pry open the door of your heart, that same fire that came and touched you is now becoming a refiner's fire that's got to burn some junk out. Because honey, you're not ready for what God has for you in a few years if that refiner's fire can't get on the inside of you and deal with what He needs to do. So don't lay down the anointing. Don't lay down the fire. But let that begin to work on the inside of you. Because God, you and we want the door to open. Get that prison door open. But God wants the door of your heart open. Your season has a purpose and your word has a time. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. Your season has a purpose and your word has a time. He says, to everything there is a purpose. So to everything there is a time. So everything that God does has a season attached to it. You see, Joseph, when he was in jail, I'm getting back to the gift that he had. Because man, the gift that God has put on your life can be so awesome, but it can frustrate you to the hilt. While God's developing that, because the butler and the baker, going back to those guys, they come, and Joseph, he's walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And you see the fruit of the Spirit in Joseph, and now you're about to see the gifts of the Spirit. But before you can handle the gifts of the Spirit, you have to be developed in the fruit of the Spirit, which is only a work that the hand of God can do. And I'm going to say this, that when God wants to work a greater work of humility in your life, Peter said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's something that only the hand of God can do. And I will tell you right now that if God wants to do a work of humility in your life that takes 5 years, you cannot shortcut it by calling a 40-day fast and saying, I'm going to get through it faster. There's nothing you can do. You can't come into the sanctuary. You can't sneak past Walter and security and praise God all night, every night, for 30 nights in a row to shortcut God's work of humility in your life, because it's something that only He can do. There's some kind of surgery that you go into heart surgery. You can't perform heart surgery on yourself. And God's got to do the work on the inside of you. He had to get Joseph ready. The butler and the baker come, and the gifts are beginning to operate in Joseph's life. But the fruit of the Spirit is what held him steady. The gifts flow easily. Man, when I was 16 years old, I saw a leg grow out for the first time. We had a Tim Story meeting here in 93, and I had a Bible study I was doing at the church we attended before the Lord brought us over here, and somebody's leg grew out, and I saw healings because that evangelist did it. I said, I'm going to go do it. And the gifts flowed easily. Man, it's easy to let the gift flow. But the fruit of the Spirit is much, much harder to develop in your life. That gift, you can use the gift so much and so hard and so strong that it'll capsize your own boat if the fruit of the Spirit hasn't been developed on the inside of you. So you got to let God do His work because He knows what He's doing. And the reason you don't know what He's doing and I don't know what He's doing is because we're just not that smart. If that makes you feel any better, we're all in the same boat. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. Well, Lord, tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what you know. And He's up there thinking, saying, I want to tell you, but you're just not smart enough, David. You just can't figure this out. It's not 2 + 2 = 4 anymore. So you got to let the fruit of the Spirit develop in your life. Joseph had the fruit of the Spirit, but he gives, by the gifts of the Spirit, he prophesies to the butler and the baker, and he says, you can see the little bit of impatience coming up in him, thinking, go tell Pharaoh what happened so he'll get me out of here, but nothing happens for 2 years. What do you do when your hopes are up high like that, and you're thinking, now is the time for my breakthrough. Now is the time for that business. Now is the time for this ministry. Now is the time for that marriage. Now is the time for this ministry breakthrough, whatever I've been believing God for. Now is the time it's going to happen. Now I can feel it. Brother Rodney prophesied it, and it's time. I can feel it taking place. What do you do? And then nothing happens for 2 years. The fruit of the Spirit had to take Joseph where the gifts couldn't. He wanted to open the door by the gifts, but God had to open the door by the fruit. The gifts are given to you. A gift is a gift because it's unearned and undeserved. That's the nature of a gift. We have to have the gifts of the Spirit operating, and even at a higher level. But that doesn't mean that there's not an aspect of what God does in your life, in my life, where the fruit has to be developed. And the fruit of the Spirit is being developed in Joseph in that season. God could have turned that season at any moment. Joseph was not waiting on Pharaoh to come pull him out of jail. Joseph was not waiting on God to give Pharaoh a dream. Joseph wasn't waiting on God. Lord, Lord, I'm ready. I'm just waiting on you. Well, the Lord loves us so much. He is exploding with generosity to give us what we want. The very millisecond we're ready for, it's going to be right there at the doorstep. The Lord is not a loving father that's going to tease you with something and you've been ready for 2 years, but he doesn't give it to you like Joseph in the jail. God didn't take Joseph out of jail because there was still some work that had to be done on him. God could have given Pharaoh that dream at any moment, and he would have been out just like that. So what was Joseph waiting on? He was waiting on what God was doing right here. The doors of that prison couldn't open up until the doors of his heart were completely open, and God had his complete work and his complete will on the inside of his life. Your season has a purpose and your word has a time. Listen to this. The purpose of your season is to bring you to the timing of your word. The purpose of your season is to bring you to the timing of your word. Your word, God gave Joseph a word, but it was at an appointed time. So the season that he was in was there to bring him and prepare him for that word to come to pass. The season that you're in, you're walking through to prepare you and bring you to the place where you are ready for the word that God has given you. Your number one guarantee for seeing the will of God to come to pass, no matter what, is humility before God. Can you be faithful in the prison season? I'm not saying that God's going to put you in jail. But can you be faithful in that season before whatever it is that God's put in your heart comes to pass? Can you be faithful in that season? Listen to this. Is your purpose truly about you and Jesus? Or is fame and accomplishment bigger in your heart? I need to let that one sink in. Because Joseph, man, he was excited and zealous. You know something about God? He puts the ability and the personality in you that matches the gift and the calling that you have. So you know what that means? That means when I was 16 years old, I had this personality to do everything that God's called me to do in the ministry. And you know what? I think that I'm ready when I'm 16 years old. I'm 36 and I'm still not ready for everything that God has. But your personality and your gifts that come naturally with you, you think you're ready for it right now. And you're beating the door down. And you've got all this zeal and all this thing. I got to do this and I'm going to do this and I that. And I, man, people around you get tired of hearing about all of the stuff that you have to say about yourself sometimes. Because your personality and your gifts were there. God, you had those when you were born. Man, I didn't realize it when I was a kid, but I could be really overbearing with my friends when we were playing in the neighborhood. And I heard them, you know, I wanted to, I don't want to tell myself because I want to keep some friends in this place, but we play hide and go seek and different things, and I always had to be the boss. I always had to control everything. You know, I had to start this, I had to do this, and I had to tell everybody, and I hope that God is working on me. And if I have bossed somebody around it, I'm sorry if I shouldn't have. I apologize. But it's just the way that God made me, and it was untempered. It's not God's fault, it's my fault. Let me make that clear. It's my fault. But I had this personality strengths before God tempers them, become a weakness, and they'll mess you up. Joseph has this personality, but God had to temper it. So the whole time that he's in jail, his personality is eating on him. Man, Joseph was a mover and a shaker. He's the kind of guy that if the job needs to get done, he gets it done and he's got a plan. Not only that, he's anointed and he has the wisdom of God to do it. So he's sitting there in jail thinking, I got the answer to everything. I have the answer to deal with my family and take my family to the place that God's called us to be. And I got the answer to deal with Egypt and all the stuff that's going on. I know how to take care of everything. And how do you deal with yourself when you're sitting in jail like that and you can't get out? You have the anointing, you have the personality, you have the gift to get out of jail, but God's hand is holding you right in that spot and you can't move. And you have tried everything that you know how to do, but the hand of God is holding you right there. When you can't go forward, when you can't go back, when you can't go anywhere, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, because he's doing a work on the inside of you. And you'll be faithful in that season. And you got to come to a place where all the calls and the dreams of your heart are about you and Jesus. And the fame and the accomplishment begins to mean absolutely nothing. And you get to the place, I'm sure Joseph did when he was in jail, we just thought, Lord, if somebody else is raised up and does everything that you've called and anointed me to do, and all I do is rot in this prison, then I'm satisfied, Jesus, with being here with you. Lord, who's qualified to preach that? I don't feel like that I am. But that's what he wants. Hallelujah. The Lord isn't short on people that he can use in greatness. The Lord has unlimited power. He can do anything that he wants, the power of the Spirit. He can anoint and do all that. He's not short on power. He's not short on being able to use people in greatness. But he is short on people that he can trust with greatness. Because he has to be able to trust you. We are not robots. God's going to empower you and do a work on the inside of you. And he has to be able to trust you with the greatness that he has given you. So it's his mercy that holds us in that position until we are ready to go running out of the starting gate. Because otherwise the greatness and the fire and the anointing that he has given us is going to make us self-destruct if he doesn't prepare us. The greatness of your word often results in great challenges in your season. Man, David, before he was promoted in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he was back there in the backside of the desert taking care of a few sheep. He was not in the military. He had no professional training, but when they brought him up, they said he was a man of war. And David's doorway to promotion was Goliath. All these other, his brothers, all they had to do was walk and go join the military, and they get all this fame and credit. And if you're David, you don't understand it. Lord, why couldn't I just go join the military? Why can't I go join them now? Why can't I join them now, a year later? And you're getting upset. But Goliath was the challenge between David and his greatness. And if you're held on the backside of a desert thinking, why is this going on? When is something going to change? And everybody else, it seems like they're getting promoted so easy. It's because the greatness that God's put on the inside of you. Joseph was in jail so long because the greatness that God had put on the inside of him. The greatness of your word often results in great challenges in your season. The devil may not know you now, but he knows the anointing and the word that you have. But when you're faithful in that season, the devil will know you when you come out of that season. You'll be the person that goes on the mission field. You had never been there before, and they're going to say, Kathy Burrell, what do I have to do with you? A devil cries out. Because you've been faithful in the season. The devil's going to know you, and then so will everybody that God's called you to reach. And you think, so occupy yourself with knowing God and not trying to make yourself known. Occupy yourself in that season with knowing God and not trying to make yourself known. Because then he can promote you. Because when it comes, nobody can stop God's promotion. I'm trying to fly through all this. really quick here. Your word brings on a season of preparation by God's word to get you ready for your due season. I'm going to put I wish I could give you all of this, but I'm going to put these on our Facebook, Harvest Ministries International. Find us on Facebook, and I'm going to have these notes up because I can't get to all of it tonight. Just because God's work has focused on other things for a season doesn't mean that he's forgotten his spoken word to you long ago. God gave you a word years ago. Now it seems like he's focused on everything else in your life but the one word that you got that means the most to you, but he hasn't forgotten about it. I think that's a word to some people tonight. Nothing can stop your due season of your word as long as you don't stop the working of God's word in your heart. That's probably one of the last things that I'm going to say. Nothing can stop your due season of your word. There is a word that you have with your name on it, and nothing can stop that coming to pass. That word coming to pass as long as you're faithful with God's word working in your heart right now. If you want to lose the word that God has with your name on it, then you begin to lose the fruit of the Spirit. You begin to walk in disobedience. You begin to get offended at somebody. You begin to close your heart. I can't go to church tonight because of so-and-so. I can't do that. I just need to go to another church because of this. No. If you let the work of God, that word that's working in the private place where it hurts so bad, it seems so difficult. If you ever let that stop and you get out of the place of humility where God can't do what he needs to do, then your guarantee of your season and your word coming to pass begins to slip also. Hallelujah. Your due season is waiting on the work of God in your heart. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Hallelujah. Before we wrap it up tonight, I want to talk to some people and pray with some people tonight. If you're here in this place and you don't know that your heart is right with God, if you were to die tonight, you don't know for sure that you would make heaven. The Lord is speaking to you right now. There's two categories of people that I want to pray with tonight. Number one, you don't know that you would make heaven. Or number two, if you're honest before God right now, you know that your heart is just not right before him. And I'm not saying that you just sinned once last week, but you just know, your heart is not right with him. I'm not talking about a mistake, but you know that your heart has just been going a different direction. And you know that it's time to come back to Jesus. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. I want you to know that the thing that discouraged you and hurt you so bad and puts you off track, God has the answer for that. You have no reason to turn to anybody else but Jesus. There's nothing else that you can turn to. You can't hold Jesus in one hand and the world in the other hand, thinking that the world's going to give you what you think Jesus isn't giving you. He has given you everything. There is nothing that you want or desire that is pure that God won't fulfill. The only reason we would turn to the devil and turn away from God is because the devil tricks and fools you into thinking you have to go over there to get what you want and get the desire of your heart. You don't have to do it. God has everything for you tonight. You don't have to have a divided heart tonight. And I want to pray with you right now. God, speak into your heart. If you're in this place, it's time to make a move towards Jesus. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, or you do, but you know your heart is not right with him, he's knocking on the door of your heart right now, and right now is your time. I want you to raise your hand right now so I can see it and pray with you and pray for you. Hallelujah. The Lord's speaking to your heart right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Thank you for those hands going up. If you raise it, you can put it down. The Lord's, if you raise your hand, go ahead and start coming to the front. The Lord's speaking to your heart right now. Those of you who are still standing in your seat, if your heart's pounding and you know what I just said is speaking to you, then you need to come down here right now. God is dealing with your heart. You know there's something pulling on you, and I'm not talking about one mistake, but I'm talking about your heart is just off track. You still love the Lord. If you were to die, you know you go to heaven. I can't threaten you with hell on this one. I just need you to come to Jesus because you love him and he loves you right now. If there's anybody else, your heart's pounding right now and you know there's something that's not right and you need to get it right, just take a step out of your seat, break loose, and come down here. Just watch the anointing of God touch you and change you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I like to compare it to some train tracks. You're either on those tracks to the will of God or you're not. You may have been derailed. You still love God, but you just know that you've derailed yourself and you need to get back on track. You need to get your heart right. If there's anybody else here tonight, just come down to the front right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get some believers just to come up and lay a hand on these people's shoulders right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you up here, I just want you to place both hands over your heart right now, and I want you to pray this prayer after me. Those of you who came forward, just place your hands over your heart right now, and I want you to pray this prayer after me and mean it with your heart. Just say out loud, "Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you right now, and I believe you died on that cross because you love me, and you rose from the dead because you've set me free. So I surrender my heart to you right now, and I repent of everything wrong. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Let me never be the same. In Jesus' name." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just take a moment here before we go and pray with you in the room. Just take a moment up here. Let the Lord minister to you. Thank you, Jesus.